From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, September 16th, 2014. This weekly podcast gives you an inside edge on technology news related to all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Apple introduced the Apple Watch and the iPhone 6 last week, and when each is released, they are promised to incorporate things like near-field communications and a barometer to support the existing sensors like GPS and accelerometers. It may even set the temperature of your house or tell you when you're sleeping well at night. More sensors means more data. Will all of these location-aware sensors make a difference in everyday life, and will it portend the beginning of yet another big data assault that will impact geospatial professionals? We'll tackle that and more, but first a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine is the leader in geospatial technology webinars. If your organization is interested in more sales leads, stronger brand awareness, and positioning your company as a key thought leader, then let us help you deliver a professionally produced live event that reaches a global audience. For more information on both our 30 and 60-minute webinar formats, go to www.geospatialwebinars.com.
Adina, last week, Time Magazine published a review of the new Apple Watch entitled Never Offline and suggested that Apple's entry into the market of wearable devices will jumpstart an industry that's really had a lot of failures so far and some that have piqued the imagination but not really hit the mass market like Google Glass. But let's assume the market takes off and a sizable number of the population use the device to monitor their home electronics and be able to make checking out at the grocery store a breeze with near-field communication, NFC. Without trying to overhype Apple's entry into the market or calling it a game changer, a paradigm shift, I do believe that the impact of these devices and the data we derive from them will have a profound effect on the industries that rely on location-based data, such as market research of consumer behavior. And it will impact the industries that previously had not leveraged or at least not been able to use location-based information effectively, such as healthcare. I'm intrigued by a few things wearables can do, and for the moment, let's put aside some of the privacy issues that might increase the queasiness factor of using any of these devices. You and I are runners, and at one point in my early career, I probably never even wore a watch. I just ran. Then I got a watch to tell time. Then I got a watch like Garmin that tells me time and distance. And with my heart rate monitor, it gives me heart rate and maybe VO2 max. Now I've hooked my Garmin to Garmin Connect, and I can see all my running and biking exercises during the week instead of manually putting them into a spreadsheet, which I did for years. And this week, I synced my Garmin Connect to my MyFitness app so I could see calories consumed and match it to calories expended. I'm now very quantified. The suggestion that a new device like Apple Watch could capture all of these data and start taking over my life gives me pause. And Time Magazine said, the paradox of a wearable device is that it gives you control and takes it away at the same time. So what I'd like your comment on is this, is that health data, for example, is just one small slice of the information we'll derive from these wearables or using the iPhone, you know, on the arm sling. It's this ability to connect to other things like home electronics. So are we headed for data overload, or does this actually catapult geospatial professionals into a new role of importance?
Well, we're definitely headed for data overload. I think that's we're already there in so many ways, and now we're just going to get even more personal data more easily. Then comes that question about how we share it, with whom we share it, do we share it with marketers? But the real question, I think, comes back to what does it all mean and how do we use it to guide our lives to those lives that we want, right? Mm-hmm. How do we become more healthy? How do we burn the right number of calories and match it with the calories that we're eating and so forth? I think we're sort of running into that same situation that we talk about with the remote sensing space right now, which is we've got all this data from all these sensors. Some of it comes down in near real time in different bands, and the use of it is very in these very, very specific areas, and it's taken a long time to even get that analysis to a point where it's valuable for that specific thing. And I think we're going to go through the same situation with all this health data.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And to be honest, it's somewhat time-consuming putting all of this data together. And I haven't quite figured out how I will consume it other than the raw data of here's your calories, here's where I did my run, here is a map of my route, which I like, but I'm not sure how exactly I use it. I haven't synced it to a training plan or a weight maintenance plan, or how is this going to make my blood glucose level better? You know what I mean? It's there.
It's raw data. It's very raw data.
Yeah, it's just raw. Very much so.
So the winners here are going to be those companies that can, first of all, integrate all that data and then provide some kind of analysis either to the individual that helps them reach those goals. Now, it might be to the individual, or I think in the situation, and many of my friends do this, they work with trainers or they work with nutritionists or both, or sometimes it's the same person. And those people are analyzing the data and using it to guide, you know, what the next workout will be and what the next week should look like in terms of nutrition. So there's a whole bunch of consulting, if you will, that's going to come in around this.
And I think the ideal thing is that we're going to be the collectors of the data, and whatever professional we engage with could be our physician, could be our builder or house maintenance person, that we're just going to give them the data ahead of time, and they're going to advise us, as opposed to going to the doctor and him taking the blood work and waiting a week. They will have the data.
So let's get at this, because there's two parts to this. One is you're out and about and you're looking at your Apple Watch and it's telling you what your heart rate is, and that's great because you've got it up at that rate that you really want it, and that's right now. And that's valuable for sure. But what's even more valuable is let's look at the last week, the last month, the last year, and see what changes you've made to your life and what's impacting it, what's impacting your sleep. You talked about that. So there's that whole real-time aspect, and then there's that collection and analysis part. And those are very different uses.
Right. I would agree. And I think it extends beyond the personal health thing, too. I'm intrigued by the adoption of the home kit that Apple introduced. So here's yet another slice of data controlling light bulbs and door locks and thermostats. We can look back now at our history of, have we done the best job of efficiently maintaining our home energy consumption? So here's yet another source of information that we supply to who? The maintenance guy? I don't know if they're going to be capable of doing that. So we're going to be overloaded with stuff. Wouldn't it be nice if this was somehow analyzed for us immediately? I mean, you mentioned the real-time aspect. I doubt if most people will have the ability to analyze things in real time. So it's a matter of who's going to aggregate all of this information for us. Is it going to be the consumer product marketing companies? Is it going to be our electricity company, our cable provider? There's lots of questions floating out there.
Well, I think there are going to be key individuals who are going to have a financial stake in this. So let's say you own an apartment building, and you're responsible for 20 apartments, and you're getting data every day on how long the lights are on and what the heat is and so forth. And you can learn a lot about how to make that building more efficient, or you can make decisions about whether you cover the electricity for the building or whether the individual apartment owners or renters do. You'll have a lot of information there.
And so now we're getting into the crux of the matter, which is building information management and modeling. We're getting into to energy efficiency. That is related to real estate, and they'd be able to look at your rental rates and your utility rates. And so that means something even broader. It could be an individual who owns a building, or it could be a corporation, could be one of the major real estate development companies that are looking at their portfolio of real estate investments and how that's managed. And then, of course, that translates even wider to people who want that real estate, how you sell it, What's the best location? What's the most energy efficient location? And how is that connecting to other things in the Internet of Things, the traffic monitors, the ability to understand the consumable public in the area, the number of people passing by an intersection? So we're getting, we've moved beyond the individual to the broader market, and what's the market for all of this information? So I want to mention one other thing, because this brings up a big issue, and it was mentioned in a Wall Street Journal article, and it asked, will standards be part of this adoption? So it said, and I quote, from a technology standpoint, the proliferation of devices raises the question whether there will ever be a dominant device or standard for the Internet of Things, and just how difficult it's going to be to integrate all the information to analyze and use it effectively. Even from Apple alone, there are now competing sensor platforms in the iPhone and Apple Watch. If you're going for a jog, should you strap on your watch or strap your iPhone to your arm holder? So I think standards are another big part of this.
Right, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, because, in fact, it's a very analogous situation to what we've got in geospatial, which is we've got these, if you like, server GISs out there, and they have their own APIs. Some of them support standards, open published standards, and it's sort of your choice if you want to connect with them and then how.
Right.
And I think we're going to have the same kinds of things in sensors. Basically, Apple has APIs and you can write to them or not, and perhaps they will work with others to there will be standards. And maybe if an awful lot of this data is, the value in it is this historical over time analysis, maybe there will be the safe software of sensors, right? That right. will just convert whatever data you've got through that elegant process that you create to spit it out into the form that your preferred visualization and analysis package uses.
Right. I could certainly see that. And I'm interested how the geospatial community gets involved with all of this. If, at this point, we kind of look like we're arm's length. But I do see this as a major impact to our community and the ability of the professionals within the community to be able to understand what the potential is. Because right now the discussion is so new, it's so, you know, it's happening just now, that the connection between the sensors and the location aware sensors is a little bit disconnected. So, you know, I look to our community to really face the challenge and really help these software developers or whatever see where the potential lies.
Which industry areas are going to step up, do you think, in geospatial? Is it going to be sort of that retail analytics, you know, where are my customers, who's walking by, that sort of thing?
Well, that's the most immediate one, right? Because now you not only have whatever sensors are in the iPhone 6 and iOS 8, but you've got that connectivity to iBeacons. That's the hype right now. That's the latest buzz with beacon technology. So how that plays out may portend how other industries uptake sensors, and maybe even displace some sensors that we knew before, like passive RFID, for example. You know, it's sort of this rebirth of sensor technology. Well, that's all the time we have for today. And from us here at Directions Magazine, we'd like to remind you about our upcoming webinars that are happening in September and throughout the fall. For more information about how you can sign up for our free webinar series, please visit www.directionsmag.com/webinars. If you'd like to comment, please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Mag, or send us a tweet at Directions Mag. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.